With our Bibles open before us, let's again seek the Lord. Pray for his help this evening. Pray for the preacher and pray for yourself. The Lord will be pleased to speak even tonight through his word. Father in heaven, Lord, we never tire of learning more about Jesus, speaking about him to others, showing his love, Lord, shedding it abroad in our hearts and lives. And Lord, may we be known as a congregation who love the Savior, who love Christ, who want to live for Christ, who want to present Christ in all his fullness and want to reach the lost with Christ. Oh, Father, bless us here. Bless us this evening, Lord, as we come afresh to thy word. We pray for help. We pray for the help of the blessed Holy Spirit, that thou will indeed endue us with power from on high. And Lord, thou will take all that is not of thee. And Lord, it'll be removed and it'll be forgotten. And thy word will live on. And Lord, be pleased to bring forth life even out of death this evening. So bless now, give help, we ask of thee. We ask it all in our Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen. As we said, we commenced this message on the I Am statement of Christ, I am the door. We commenced this about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And from the outset, we saw there's only one door. There's only one door and one way of entering into that place of eternal bliss and that sweet fellowship with our God. And we saw here how we looked at these sinister intruders the Lord pointed out he was speaking to in the opening verses of chapter 10, and how we went back into chapter 9 and how they'd taken the blind man, the man the Lord had healed from his blindness, and how they pointed the finger at him and how they tried to use him to get at the Lord. And the Lord set them out, called them out for who they were, as thieves and robbers, as imposters. He said that they are vain attempts. Their ways of trying to get to God and to get to heaven and to be reconciled to God and make themselves acceptable to God, their ways, their vain attempts would lead them to a dead end. The doors they had were shut doors. They weren't open doors. And through this whole dialogue, the Lord is clearly stating that he alone is the door, that every other seemingly acceptable way. Because these were religious leaders, remember. These were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders of the Sanhedrin, the religious elite of the day. And obviously they thought their way is acceptable, as many today do. You think of the many in the churches today in this city and in this locality who would think their way is right. They find themselves in church this morning. They may say prayers, they may recite prayers, they may sing hymns, and they think that's good enough for heaven. They are religious, they're church-going people, they're upright people. They think their way is acceptable. But friends, as we look at this passage, as we looked at the last message and this I am the door statement, we saw that there's only one way, and that is through Christ alone. This way that these people put before us is like entering into a maze. You know what it's like? You go somewhere and there's these mazes and you send a little child into the maze and they're running about here, there and everywhere trying to find their way out, but they can't find it. They're lost. There's only one way. And Christ is the only way. So here Christ at the very outset of this passage, the very outset of this statement, he's saying, I am the way. He's put himself front and center. He says, look at me. He puts himself out there. He's making it abundantly clear that he is not an option of many options. He's saying, it's me. It's me and me alone. So therefore, let's look at this statement tonight as we conclude this message that we started a few weeks ago. First thing I want you to notice from this I am the door statement is the claim that Christ makes here, the claim that he makes. He makes this claim about himself. It's a very simple claim. It's a wonderful claim that he makes. He says, I am the door. And he says, I am the door to safety. I am the door to security. He says, this is where the shepherd would go as he seeks to gather the sheep in at night. He brings them all in from the fields, from the hills, and he brings them all into that sheep pen, and he places himself in the doorway. He says, I am the door. I am the place of safety and security for the sheep. As I bring them in, they come in through me, through that doorway. And as they're challenging into the walls, into that safe little environment of those stone walls, whatever that setting is, and he sets himself down in that doorway. He's saying to them, he says, I am the door. You find your safety, you find your security in me, nowhere else. And this is a claim he makes here at the very outset. He says, I am the door to safety and security. This is what he seeks to open up to the people he's speaking to. He brings it out more fully in verses 9 and 10, and we look at that in a minute. But let me make application here just right at the outset, friend. Because we need to see right now that this is the door that all mankind needs. Everyone tonight, everyone needs this. Ever since the beginning of our race, when Adam was given and granted the privilege and fellowship of communion of God in paradise in the Garden of Eden, remember how that he had that sweet fellowship? He walked with the Lord in the garden in the cool of the day. And then how he turned, rejected, he sinned, and he turned and he lost out in that communion. He lost out in that fellowship. He lost out in that kindness and that trust of God. He forsook it all. He fell into sin. And as a result of that sin, what happened? He was driven out of the garden. He was driven out of that environment. He was cast out of paradise because of his rebellion. And if you remember back to Genesis chapter 3, to that story, remember how they're driven out, and what did God do? And I think it's Genesis 3, the very last verse. God put cherubims at the entrance to the garden with flaming swords in their hand. In other words, man was barred from entering into that place again. He was cast out because of a sin. And the way of access now was barred to sinful man. There was no way for him to enter back into that place of paradise. He was barred because of a sin. And the sword of condemnation was held there by the cherubims. He was now under condemnation. There was no way that man could himself wrestle his way back in or climb in again or sneak in without God seeing him. He was separated from God and his sin. Isaiah 59, our iniquities have separated us from our God. And that's where man is found tonight, on the outside. And because of sin, man is shut out from that place of fellowship and communion with God. He's shut out because of a sin. There's no way back, no way that man, through his own moral efforts, through his work, could enter into the presence of God again. And this condemnation that fell on Adam fell upon all men. We know the verse, Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And therefore, tonight, each one of us are born into this condemnation. We are barred from fellowship. We're barred from communion with God. We're on the outside. There's no access except through Christ. So here comes the Son of God at the very outset. And he says, I am the door. A very personal door. What is the way to safety and security? He doesn't point to philosophy. The Lord doesn't point to philosophy. He doesn't point to men's opinions. He doesn't point to man's wisdom. He doesn't point to religion. He doesn't point to a denomination. He doesn't point to any church. He doesn't point to any self-help book. He points to himself. He said, I am the door. He doesn't point to any way of moral improvement. And we see that in the social gospel. That's why the social gospel is so far removed from the true gospel, because it puts the emphasis on man. It says you change man's circumstance. You improve man's living conditions. You improve man's education. You improve man's social surroundings. You'll change man. But that's not what the Bible says. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And Christ said, it's me. It's me and me alone. I am the door. The door is a person. The gate to safety and security is a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. It's a personal claim he makes about himself. This claim that he makes, this open invitation, is an invitation to a person, to a relationship. Not to religion, not to a theological system, but to a person, to the Lord Jesus Christ himself and all that he is. This is the claim he makes, is I am the door. But notice secondly the caution he issues here. He issues a caution here. Because he takes up, we spoke in the first message about those sinister intruders, those characters that try to sneak in another way. And he mentions them here again. He mentions them in verse 1. He brings them back in here in verse 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He's referring to those pretenders that say, we're the way. We're the way. Come our way. Do what we say. We will bring you to the way of safety and security. We'll bring you into a place of freedom, the freedom that you always wanted. We can bring you that kind of life that you always desired to live. We can give you that. We can direct you into the very fields and pastures of which your soul desires. Christ simply says, all that came before me are thieves and robbers. And likely again here he's pointing to the whole Jewish religious leadership. He's not pointing here to the apostate in a sense of those who hate God. He's pointing to the religious elite of the day, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all those who in truth were actually barring the people from finding the door. Rather than pointing the people to the true door, to the Lord Jesus Christ, they were barring the people. They were disparaging Christ. They were disparaging his word. They were threatening any who confessed him. They were discouraging any who sought him out. And Christ says they're nothing but thieves and robbers. They come to harm. They've come to destroy. They've come to lead you in the way of everlasting destruction. He says, look at me. I am the door. I am the door. There's no other doors. All who claim to be a door, all who claim to be a way of entrance, all who claim to be a means of finding life and security, they're nothing but thieves and robbers who are seeking to lead you astray. He said, there's no other entry. He said, I am not only the personal door, I am the only door. There are no others. There are no others. What did he say in John 14 and 6? We'll consider this later on in our series. No one cometh unto the Father but by me, or but through me, we could say, as you think of the door, as you enter through a door. And that's a very bold statement, isn't it? That's a very narrow statement. And in our culture, it's very arrogant to say such a thing, isn't it? Very arrogant to declare that there's only one way. And for Christ to stand in front of these men, these religious leaders, and say, I am the way. You're nothing but thieves and robbers. And yet, notice the I here. It's emphatic. In the original language, both in verses 7 and 9, he does not say, I am a door. But in the original, it says, I am the door. The only door. The way it's written is this. There's no other doors. It's me and me alone. I am the only way of safety and access to God and heaven and glory. All other doors are illegitimate doors. They're false doors. They're fake doors. It's like having a door in the wall, a fire exit above it, only to find that it's bolted up. There's no entrance. There's no way through it. And this is what these seasoned robbers were, as it were, they were saying, they were declaring there's an exit, there's a way here for you, but when the people went to try it, it was barred. They couldn't get through it. Christ said, it's me and me alone. And that's not popular in our time. It's not a popular idea. Such language is not tolerated in our culture. They say there's only one way to heaven. There's no room in a civilized theology for a doctrine which would limit salvation to those who profess any one form of religious belief. That's what man thinks. That's what man thinks. There's no room in a civilized society for such a mindset to say there's only one way to heaven. And yet that's not what we say. That's not what the church says. That's not what a denomination says. This is what Christ says. This is Christ's words himself. It's not that just the church says it. This is Christ who says he is the way. That he is the door. He is the only entrance. He is the one who has come down from heaven as the Son of God. That unique person who himself took on our nature and became the God-man, uniquely to do the unique work that no one else could ever do. Christ. And Christ alone. It is that unique Son who does that unique work. Who is able to uniquely say that I am the only one. I am the only way. I am the only door. And yet that may be offensive in our age. Well, that's what Christ says tonight. And again, we might say, well, why would this be so offensive? You think of this. Why is it so offensive if you're lost tonight? If you're lost, why would it be so offensive if you're out of the way, you don't know the way, and all of a sudden you find there is a way? If you're all holed up in some dominion of darkness and you're chained, and all of a sudden someone says, there's a way of escape, would you not gladly run for that way of escape? And yet tonight, people don't want the way of escape. Even though they find themselves in a place where they've no peace, they've no joy, they're seeking something, and you tell them, I have the answer to your problem, friend. And it'll not cost you a penny, it's free. I have the answer to all your problems. And then when you tell them what it is, they don't want to know. And they'll try this way and that way and every other way, but they'll not come the way that Christ says. What did Peter say? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way. And Christ declares it here. All who came before me, and indeed the implication is all who will come after me and declare another way are nothing but thieves and robbers who are leading the people astray, who are seeking to destroy them and harm them. Christ is an exclusive door. The gospel is an exclusive religion. One way, and one way alone. Notice the condition he gives here in verse 9. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Yes, there's a promise of salvation. There's a promise of provision. But it's based on a condition. What is that condition? It's plainly seen in the verse. If any man enter in. There's a condition, friend. If any man enter in. You see, this door, Christ is a door that is not meant to keep people away. Christ is a door that is not meant to keep people away. Christ is an open door, not a closed door. It's a door which anticipates that people will enter in. It's an open door. He said, I am the door. If any man enters in, enters through me, he shall be saved. He is a door to be entered. A door to be entered. It's not just a door to be admired. It's not just a door to assess and take stock of and look at and look at all the components of the door. It's a door to be taken advantage of. You imagine being in a room and there's only one door, one way out, and a fire breaks out. And there's an open door. You run for that open door. And that's what Christ is saying tonight. This door, I am the door, I am an open door, ready to receive all who will enter in. And here's the condition, you must enter in. You must enter in. That's what the door is for. He says, that's what I've come for, that you might enter in and find rest and find peace for your soul and find salvation. I have not come to shut men out. That's the thieves and robbers. That's the religion of the day. That's the churches. That's the self-righteous man. That's the man who seeks his run after his morality. All those doors are shut. They'll not open. They will shut men out of heaven. But I'm an open door. I'm an open door. It's the very same word that's used in John 14 and 6. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He's not just the only door, but he's an open door. And notice this door, who's it for? Who's this open door for? Any man. This open door is for any man. It's for anyone. It's for each one here tonight. Rich or poor, young or old, religious or non-religious. He doesn't attach any adjectives to this. He doesn't attach any requirements of worthiness in if any man who is rich can enter in. If any man does this, he can enter through this door. No, it's an open door for anyone. Anyone tonight. If anyone hears my voice, if anyone is willing, then enter in. This is an inviting invitation. An invitation to all tonight to open, to come through this open door. See, Jesus is not only the personal door, he's not only the exclusive door and the only door, but he's also the open door, friend. And dear sinner, let me ask you, what hinders you tonight from entering through this door? The door is wide open. The invitation's there to come. What is hindering you tonight? What is holding you back from entering through that door? Notice next the consequence of entering through the door. The consequence of entering through the door. The claim is, I am the door. The condition is entering through Christ. But how do I enter, you might ask? How do I enter this door? And that's a good question. How do you enter this door? You enter this door by faith, simply. You enter by faith. Just as you came in tonight and you walked through that open door, you did it by faith. You sat down in the pew before you, you did it by faith. You enter this door by believing. Proverbs 18 and 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And that's almost the same idea here as in John 10. Christ is saying, I am the door. The righteous run to it and are safe. And he says here, if any man, if anyone enters through this door, now is able to run to that door and run through it, you are safe. How do you run? You don't run with human legs. He's not speaking about that physical running with our legs, but rather he's speaking about running with a broken and contrite heart, a believing heart, running to Christ, fleeing to Christ, falling down at his feet, trusting, believing that he is the only access, the only way of forgiveness, the only way of salvation. Here is the way of glory. Here is God's sent Son. You see, you don't have to climb up to heaven. But here's the door of heaven sent down to earth. Here's the ark of God set right in your face, inviting you tonight to come and enter into that ark of mercy. All you must do is believe, trust, commit yourself to Christ, to that door, to enter through it. The consequences of it all, the promise of it all is what? He says at the end of verse 9, he who enters in, he who hears his voice, he who is willing to come, Christ's promise, they will be saved. Here's this promise. Here's this consequence. You walk through that door. You come to Christ as you are, a lost sinner who deserves hell. He promises that you will be saved. Behind Christ or within Christ is what? Salvation. Behind Christ and in Christ is security for you tonight, friend. It's all found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say he will go in and out and find pasture. Here we have glorious liberty. Here we have unrestricted freedom, free and secure. You're free to move about this life now, no longer under the bondage and burden of your sin. You have freedom. Freedom to go in and out and find pasture. No longer bound by sin. You have the confidence of that grace and mercy of God to live your life to his pleasing. Glorious freedom to walk at liberty, secured indeed by his amazing grace. And when you come to Christ, when you enter through that door, you will be saved. And when you enter through that door, you'll experience life like you never had it before. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 23, what does he say? He says, you'll be followed all the days of your life, not like a stalker, not followed by someone who seeks to harm you, but rather goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. The goodness and mercy of God follows the children of God. So this is what you enter into. This is what you receive. This is what is all behind the door. In Christ there is salvation. In Christ there is security. And not only that, but a full and abundant and glorious provision that you'll never find in the world. Never find in the world. You'll find pasture. You come to find what you need. You'll have all your real needs met, real satisfaction, real rest, real comfort, real refreshment of soul, peace with God. You'll experience it all through Christ. And here he is, he's setting all the riches of what is there for those who enter in through him. He's building it all up, and here it is, it's found by entering through that door that is Christ, to be truly saved, to be truly secure, to be truly satisfied and filled up beyond measure. Jesus says it's all through him. There's only one means of receiving life, only one source of the true knowledge of God, only one fountain of spiritual nourishment, and it's found in Christ alone. It's through him and Christ alone my hope is found. And friend, there's the only hope for your soul this evening. It's in Christ. Because without Christ, you're lost. You're lost and you're going to a lost sinner's hell without him. Finally, he sets out a contrast here in verse 10. The contrast in verse 10. He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And here he seeks once again to reinforce what he's been saying all along. What he's been saying about these thieves and robbers. He's bringing this illustration of these false, sinister intruders in again. And he sets out this glorious contrast. What they're seeking to do. And he says, what I'm seeking to do. The purpose of my presence here is to give you life. Life like you've never known it before. They've come to kill, to steal. And that word kill means to slaughter. They've come to slaughter the sheep. Remember he's speaking about the fold, the sheep. He said they have come to harm them. They have come to slaughter the sheep. They come to take advantage. They only have selfish thoughts in mind. They don't care for the sheep. They have no interest in the welfare of the sheep, of the people. They're only out for what they can get. They don't care about anyone else. They may come, they may claim, but really in the end, it's going to be lost and ruined for the sheep who follow them. Because I have not come for that purpose. I've come for a different purpose. I've come for a completely different purpose. Not to take life. I have not come to take life. But I have come to give you life. Because friend, without Christ, you're already lost. You're already heading to that place of condemnation. And he's come to give you life. You're already dead. Paul writes in Ephesians 2 that we're dead in trespasses and sins, and that's where the sinner is tonight. Oh, you may be sitting here, you may be breathing in the physical sense, but spiritually speaking, you're dead tonight. If you're not saved, you're dead. And Christ said, "I've come that you might have life." He said, "I am the living door. I am the door of life. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." It's way beyond necessity. It's more than just a simply getting by kind of life. How many people live like that? Oh, I've just enough. I've just enough to get by. It's more than that. It's more than that. It's more than simply a kind of hoping kind of life. How many people live like that today? Are you going to heaven? Oh, I hope so. I hope so. And maybe that is your mindset tonight. You hope you'll get to heaven, but you have no assurance. But Christ said, I have come to change all that. I have come that you might have life and life for abundance. It's the fullness of life. It's that abundant life. Not life in terms of the way that men think of simply earthly categories like what shall I eat or where shall I live or what shall I drive or where shall I work and these earthly things. It's way beyond those things. But life in terms of the blessing, of the grace and favour of God and the joy of God and in that communion with Christ, that's what he's speaking about. True life. Life to the full. Well, it's not that life is free from struggles or enemies. We know we face them. But it's that life as a believer that we can live in the midst of it all. And we can sit down, as it were, before our troubles, before our enemies, with that cup that overflows, like the psalmist writes. It's overflowing of joy. It's overflowing of peace. It's overflowing of the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. It's overflowing beyond measure. Oh yes, I may be deprived of earthly things. We may be deprived of worldly things. But we're never ever deprived of those spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Our cup is full. It's running over. And that's the life he's talking about. It's that life indeed that is the life of Christ given to us people, that we're truly alive. Truly alive for the first time ever, living for God, living with the anticipation of serving God, not just filling up time for the sake of it, but living for the Savior. seeking to love him more and more day by day. Not just a life that is sour and dour and long-faced, but a life that is enabled by God's grace to glorify him, to love him, to live for him. It's that kind of life, that abundance of grace and peace and pardon. Oh, dear sinner, tonight, nothing compares to having peace in your heart, knowing that you have been pardoned, knowing that no longer condemnation is written across your head, as it were, knowing that you're no longer under the sentence of certain death and eternal punishment, knowing deep down in your soul that you have been brought into that right relationship of God. You've been reconciled. Your sins have been forgiven. You can lay your head down on the pillow tonight and you can go to sleep knowing that if you do not wake in the morning, that you'll wake in glory. Do you have that peace tonight, friend? Can you put your head on the pillow tonight and close your eyes with the assurance that if you do not wake up in the morning, that you will be in heaven? Do you know what it is to have that peace? That's what he's speaking of, that life, that cup that overflows. He's the door from death to life. He's the door from darkness to light. He's that wonderful, full door. And he piles us all up here, as it were, as he focuses through verses 7 to 10. He says that in him is safety, in him is security, in him is salvation, and in him is abundant life. And he brings it all together. And he said, it's found through him and him alone. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. That's what he seeks to present here. This is what he seeks to point to you, dear friend, you lost soul, you darkened soul, you who are basically looking in this world for safety and security and peace and true life, and yet you've never found it. You may come to church week by week. You may watch the services online week by week. But yet there's something missing. There's something missing. You don't have the assurance that walking through the door that is Christ, that brings you into the presence of God, brings you into that place of forgiveness and assurance that one day, you'll be in that place with him, that place of eternal rest. The psalmist says in Psalm 118, verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness, and I'll go into them, and I will praise the Lord, this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. And here we have again, as it were, Christ saying, I am the gate of the Lord. I am the gate of heaven. I am the gate into the kingdom. And it says the righteous will enter through it. Have you entered through it tonight? The psalmist goes on to say in verse 21, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Have you cried to him? Have you cried to him for mercy? It's the whole purpose of this from the very beginning, that we would see Christ as that glorious door. The words of a lovely hymn I heard online sum it up wonderfully. I never heard this hymn before. Listen to these words. There is a gate that stands ajar, and through its portals gleaming, a radiance from the cross afar, the Saviour's love revealing. The chorus says, O depth of mercy, can it be that gate was left ajar for me? For me? For me? For me, was left ajar for me. Second verse says, that gate ajar stands free for all who seek through it salvation, the rich and poor, the great and small, of every tribe and nation. Can it be? Can it be that that gate was left ajar for me? Could it be, friend? And how are we to answer? We would answer yes. That gate, that door is ajar tonight. That door is open. Do you hear him calling? The sweet shepherd of God, the Son of God. If any man, If any man enters in, he shall be saved. Do you hear him tonight? Beckon you to come. Are you willing for that? Will you come for life through the Son who gave himself? Listen, friend, it's been declared again this evening. The door is ajar. Why? Because I'm standing here. That's why I know the door is ajar. Because I'm standing here preaching the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're still living in the day of grace. God is still saving people. Christ has not returned. There's still souls to be saved and won for him, and therefore I can stand here tonight and say the door is open. The door is ajar, and he's calling sinners unto himself. Oh friend, don't just stop at the gate. Don't just stop at the door and look at the door and admire the door. And as it were, maybe you have your hand resting on the wall. You're like the cities of refuge. Was it Joab who was standing at the gate of the city and he didn't enter in? He's standing there, he stopped and he didn't enter in. And he's slain at the gate with the gates open, the place of safety there. Tonight there's a place of safety for you. Don't stop at the gate, because I tell you, by the authority of God, by the authority of Christ, by the authority of his word, that there's no safety outside the door. There's no safety standing around and debating about it. There's no safety outside the door. There's no safety for the people outside of the ark. They perished. Christ says tonight, you must come inside. You must come in. You must enter through me. You must enter through the Son. There's no real life. There's no lasting life. There's no safety, no security from the judgment and condemnation of God outside of Christ. The only place of safety tonight, friend, for you is inside the fold. You think of the sheep out in the mountain, out in the wild. And there, maybe the lightning strikes and on the mountaintop, the thunder rolls and on the top of the mountain, the hail comes down. The shepherd, he brings them into that place of safety, into the fold, and they're safe and secure for you. And friend, tonight, if you come to Christ, that judgment, that fire, the condemnation that was due you, fell upon the lovely Lamb of God upon Calvary. And therefore tonight, you can enter in and you can be saved. You can receive forgiveness of sins. You can have your sin dealt with. And that barring that took place through Adam's sin, and because of our own sinful nature, that barring from fellowship of God, that way has been opened again. And that flaming sword of condemnation will be removed from you. And rather you'll receive words of commendation. Welcome, my child. You'll be brought into the family of God. You'll receive adoption. He'll be given a new name. He'll be given a new heart, new desires. Oh, there's mercy and grace found through this door. There's forgiveness found through this door. There's redemption found through this door. There's salvation found through this door. Will you come tonight? Will you enter in? Or will you come, as it were, and walk up to that door? And as it were, shut that door. The face of Christ and say, no, no, I'll go my own way. I'll go my own way. Friend, if that's your outlook in life, well, then you will perish. But praise God tonight, if you come, you will not find a closed door. Rather, you'll find an open door. You'll find doors, a door that is flung wide open, just like that picture of the Father who welcomes the prodigal home, arms wide open to receive you, to embrace you, to bring you into that place of safety and security and salvation, and say, welcome, welcome home, my child. For me, the door was left ajar. For me. Come in tonight and enter in to Christ's saving grace for his name's sake. Amen. Let's seek the Lord as we close our meeting in prayer. Father in heaven, oh, we thank you for our lovely Saviour. We thank you for the one who is willing to receive all who come unto him by faith. Oh, Lord, we pray this evening in this meeting, oh, Lord, if there's any who are still lost, still outside the sheepfold, they will come in through the door that is Christ. They will not heed the voice of the thieves and robbers who would seek to tell them they can go their own way. We know that will end up in ruin. Oh, Father, have mercy, we pray. Speak by the voice of thy blessed Holy Spirit. Even as the voice of the preacher grows silent, we pray, Lord, you'll give no rest. We spoke of that in the message. And Lord, I pray from the depths of my heart that you'll give sleepless nights to any outside of Christ. That even this night they'll toss and they'll turn. And they will think this message over in their mind. And they will come to a realization that if they were to breathe their final breath this night, that outside the door, outside of Christ, they would be eternally lost. Father, speak, we ask of thee. Father, we thank you for thy love and thy mercy. We thank you for the Savior. Help us to look to him this evening. We pray, Lord, you'll bless us. We thank you for this day in thy house. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of being able to meet together as thy people, meet around the word and have that time of sweet communion with thee. Bless each one, Lord, and bless us, Lord, in our own lives and even this week as we go about our own daily business. Lord, give help and strength and help us, Father, to follow hard after thee. Bless each one now as we leave this meeting. Keep your hand upon us for good. We ask it all in our Saviour's name. Amen.